we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast here on WMIE 91.5 and also simulcast on 102.3 throughout the county. We want to thank you for tuning in today. It is a privilege and an honor to bring the Word of God to you. So we want to start off today by saying thank you to Bill Andriak at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. 759-3284. Over the past, well, towards the latter part of last week and the weekend and the first part of this week, it was very nice and cool. But if you have any experience in Florida, you are going to be fully aware that this is a season of refreshing, that the summer is on its way. And when it comes, you will want to make sure that your air conditioner is up and running, functioning not just well, but efficiently. A couple of weeks ago, we went to bed at night and it was like, you know, I'm hot. Now I've got a pre-programmed thermostat that Creative AC Solutions put in at my house. And it's programmed, it's set every night. It should be the same temperature in there. And so I got up and I had been hot the night before, and my wife had been hot the night before, and my daughter had been hot the night before. And so I did a little investigating, and I found that my filter needed to be changed. And yours, if it's not running efficiently, it's going to cause your electric bill to go up. It'll be higher. And so I just want to encourage you today, if your AC is not functioning efficiently, if you think your electric bill is a little bit high, I want to encourage you to call Creative AC Solutions. It might not be something as simple as a air filter. Your unit might just need to be cleaned off and just serviced and ready for the heat. Look, I'm just here to encourage you. Bill does a great job, and he will treat you fairly. He does his work with excellence. And on his business cards, he has scriptures and invitations for people to know Jesus. He wants to use his business there not just as a way to earn a living, but a way to build the kingdom. And so Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, if that could be a blessing to you. I want to encourage you to come out to our services this weekend, Sunday school at 9:30. We've been studying through the book of Acts. Last week we were in Acts chapter 26. This week, we'll also have, we're praying our Sunday school teacher will be back. They had a family emergency that they were dealing with last week. But our Sunday morning services, the presence of God has been in the house, and we are just so thankful. We are believing that great things are in store. We celebrate the victories that we had last year, but we're believing that God is doing great things at Merritt Assembly of God, and that even better things are in store in the days ahead. Come be a part of that. I will be preaching again this Sunday morning. Now, we do not have service on Sunday night. We have a special function that we are doing with the staff, and so I do want to let you know we have Sunday night services about 35 to 40 times a year. We take holiday weekends off and fifth Sunday nights off, and very rarely do I take an additional one off. But this week we as a staff are coming together. We're getting together, and we're just trying to function the best that we can with the Spirit of the Living God and how we can reach Brevard County with the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So today I want to take you to the book of Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. It is a very short chapter. If you ever are given an assignment to measure or to memorize a chapter in the Bible, I encourage you to take a look at Isaiah, the fourth chapter. It's only 6 verses long and less than 1 column in my super giant print Bible that I'm teaching from here today. So Isaiah chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "In that day 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach.' In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her mind by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for a shelter from storm and rain." Chapter 3, we had talked about that last week. We spent most of this week talking about Hebrews chapter 4. Prior to that, we were in Isaiah chapter 3 and talked about how God had promised to turn the pride and the beauty of the residents of Jerusalem into a place of humiliation and bondage. So everything that they were proud about, everything that they were arrogant about, all of that was going to be stripped away, and the sources of their boasting were going to be exchanged for bondage, for humiliation, and there was just going to be a tremendous lack. And I want to remind you there that I had said at that point in time, pride will cost you everything. Pride will cost you everything. And everything that you lose will be replaced with something that you do not desire. So that is the chapter 3. And the reason that I wanted to recap that is when we look at chapter 4, it says, "And in that day, 7 women shall take hold of one man." It is during that time of humiliation and a time of affliction and adversity that all of a sudden that there is going to dawn on that society that there is a shortage, and I'll point that out to you. "The women shall take hold of one man, 7 women shall take hold of one man, saying, 'We will eat our own food and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name to take away our reproach.'" What is being indicated in this passage of Scripture is that there will be a shortage of men. So, ladies, please do not feel like I'm insulting you here today, because I'm not. I believe that women have a very valuable role in the kingdom of God. It's been told to me that the word virtue in Proverbs 31 is the same word that is used of Gideon as a mighty man of valor. I believe that when we get to heaven, we are going to find that there were some women saints of God who shook heaven, that touched heaven, that there were people saved because of their prayers. I know many, many mighty women of God who have touched lives, have shaken nations, have impacted generations of people. So please, when I tell you this, do not think that I am insulting you, because I'm not. I'm just pointing out what the Scripture says, that in that day that there would be a shortage of men. I believe we're living in a day and time where there is a confusion as to the definition and the role of what men play. Men are not called to be brutes. They are not called to be dictators. Hear me today, guys. You are not to be the dictator of your house. The Scripture says that husbands should love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That means that you are not there sitting upon your throne dictating from there what is going on, but instead you have adopted the mindset of a servant leader to your wife, that you are leading your house as a priest, that you are leading in the path of righteousness, you are leading in service, you are leading in giving, you are leading in worship, you are leading in evangelism, you are leading in wisdom, you are leading in effort, you lead and you serve by your leading. That we should be servant leaders. And so there was going to be this desperation among the ladies of that society, and they'd say, you know, there, what it's basically describing, that there would be seven women for every one man. I don't want there to be a shortage of men. I believe that we should be godly men, men who make a difference. And again, please don't take this as an insult for ladies. I preach a whole array of messages on the virtues of women and what God accomplishes through them. I just want to point out what the Word of God says. And guys, our role is not only to not serve as a dictator in our homes, but be a servant leader, but we are also to have more recognition of God's purpose in our life than parked on the couch, being the master of the control, having the ability to chug alcoholic beverages and sit there and watch things with our eyes that we should not be watching with our eyes. That's not what God called you to do. He didn't just call you to have all of the nicest toys so that you could make sure that you were fully entertained. You know, there's that saying that the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. I believe that we need to realize that God has called us to be men of courage, to be men of faith, that we should be men who lead the journey in faith and righteousness rather than just delegating that or letting the women take care of that. We have a shortage of godly men. Our prisons are populated with men, and there's a lot of absence. There's a huge void of godly male influence in our life. On Wednesday night, we have girls' ministry and we have boys' ministry, and we've got some older men. And I will tell you on the air what I have said to some of these men privately, and that is this: thank you. Thank you. You see, there is no biological connection there as to why they are investing their time in molding these young men. See, most of the kids that come to our youth and children's ministry on Wednesday night, a good portion of them come from single mom households. And that means that there is an absence of godly male influence. And these men have stepped up to the plate, and they said, and I'll tell you this, all of them go through background checks. I even did a background on myself. I passed, you know, but that wasn't just me. Ooh, I passed. It was, you know, there was a background agency and said, you got nothing on your record. And I like it like that. I appreciate testimonies of people who have been down a rocky path and God brought them back. But I am very thankful for a testimony that says, I was saved as a child, I was called into the ministry as a child, and even though I was not the most exertive during some of my high school years, God has kept me by His grace all of these years. And so I'm thankful for that testimony. Thank God for redemptive testimonies, and thank God for sustaining testimonies. And so these men, even though they have no biological connection, they recognize the value of helping to train up young men on how they should, how they should develop themselves spiritually. And so we've got our children's minister. She helps with that as well. But her husband is right there. And so there are several of us men that are involved, and we are pouring in. We pray for those young men. We help to shape them and to mold them so that they will become men and women of valor. What would happen if the men of our generation realized that they were called for divine purpose? Called for divine purpose. I'm probably going to go through Isaiah chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 5, and then I'm going to share this. Last Sunday, God had given me a message, and after the message was over, all of a sudden, there was some points that were given to me that summarized those things. I was like, God, thank you for that. That would have been, you know, very effective for me to share before I got that. And so I need to do a better job of listening, so that I hear before and not just after. And that way people can have, you know, a few little bullet points to be able to remember. So it says, what society was talking about, when everything they were proud of, when everything that they were boasting about, when all of that was taken away, they began to look for men who would take away the reproach that the society was experiencing at that time. Men, can I extend an invitation to you to live a life of holiness? I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 5, just a moment. Hebrews chapter 5, and it's going to, between verse 13 of chapter 5 and chapter 6, verse number 3, it says this: "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection, and the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits." So what it is talking about here in chapter 5 is there is a temptation for people to get comfortable in only partaking of the milk of the words, things that are easy to receive, things that are easy to digest, but that it really isn't going to bring to that individual the fullness of nutritional value that they were designed and created by God to be able to process. "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." So listen to what some of the elementary principles are that people get stuck on. Elementary principles of Christ. Listen, if you have never heard that Jesus Christ came, was set aside all of his glory, was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, went to the cross, received stripes upon his back for your healing, shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins, was crucified, dead, and buried, and on the third day raised to newness of life. From there he ascended to the right hand of the Father. He came, he ministered to the disciples for 40 days, and then he ascended back to the Father. And while he is in heaven, he is interceding for you. If you've never heard that, I want to tell you, you've got to get that first. Salvation is not the end of the journey. Salvation is the launching pad. And so, guys, I want to tell you that it is not about good works. It's not, you can't earn your way to heaven. You cannot be famous enough, skilled enough to get to heaven. It takes a rebirth by the Holy Spirit of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You and I need to be born again. We need Christian men. I come from a place where there are lots of pickup trucks. There are lots of rifles and shotguns and all of that sort of stuff. It's a metropolitan city, but I got news for you. There are some country folk out there, but it's not about the culture that you come from. It's not about the geographic region. It is about, are you going to be a man of God? You have got to begin by faith. So the elementary principles, it says, let us go on to perfection, not laying again. So here are some of those other elementary or foundational issues, and that is repentance from dead works. Okay, we talked about that. You've got to repent. In fact, I will tell you this. It takes a man. It takes a man of God and a woman of God to be able to repent. Repentance is God's gift to humanity. There are a lot of people who want to live their life with no excuses. They want to live their life never having to say you're sorry. I want you to know that is a lie from the pit of hell. You and I need to realize when we've blown it, admit you've blown it. You want to amaze your spouse? Go home and apologize when you have messed up. Instead of trying to defend your actions or blame your actions on someone else, why don't you be a spiritual man and say, look, I blew it. Would you please forgive me? I guarantee you that it will change the tone of your house. Only one time in my life, and it wasn't with my wife, have I ever had a person that came and said something to me and I said, you know what, that is a valid point. I'm sorry. I apologize. Only one time have I ever said that and they refused to accept that apology and say, you know what? And in fact, they were saying, why is it about you apologizing? I was like, look, if I blew it, I blew it. I am sorry. I've got no problem admitting. I have apologized to my wife, repented to my wife. I've apologized to my kids, repented to my kids. There have been times when I've apologized to my church because, you know, I'm not a perfect human being. I don't portray to be one. I try and be the best man of God that I can be. And so we need to have that repentance from dead works. And it says faith towards God. There are entire churches that are built. They're called Word of Faith churches. Praise God. We need faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is something that is for now. It is not just for the past. It is not just for the present. But it is spiritual life moves beyond faith. It goes on and it says, the doctrine of baptisms. Do you realize that there are people who will stand and have theological arguments about baptism? And I, you know, praise God. You know, if you feel comfortable that you have been obedient to the Lord and obeying him to be baptized, the scripture admonishes those of us to be baptized. The Great Commission tells us to go and baptize people. And if you feel comfortable with that, then I'm okay. People say, hey, do I have to be baptized in an Assembly of God church to go to heaven? I said, no. Well, if I was baptized in another denomination, do I have to be rebaptized? Some denominations say yes. No, you're not being baptized into the Assemblies of God. You're being baptized as an acknowledgement that you are identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So that's an elementary principle. Talks about on the laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, of eternal judgment. Those are things that people still struggle with, and God says those are very foundational. Those are foundational. We need men to embrace all of those things. You know, how about this? Guys, you lead your family and saying, you know what? I have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus, and I'm going to be baptized. And I tell you what, that when when you begin to take steps of obedience and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, your family will follow. When that Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 got saved, his entire household got saved. When Cornelius was instructed by the angel to send for Peter, and when Peter showed up, Cornelius had filled his house with people, and he said, "Look, we are gathered here to hear what God wants to say to us through you. Men, let's rise up and let's be the evangelists of our family. Let's rise up and be the prayer warriors of our family. Let's rise up and say, you know what? This church doesn't need another spectator. It needs a man who loves Jesus with all of his heart." Let me get back to Hebrews chapter 5, because in that little passage that we read, it identifies what is exemplary of people of maturity, and that is this, and that is the word of righteousness. Paul began to speak to one of the kings that he was on trial before, and he would speak to him about righteousness and self-control and the judgment that is to come. And all of a sudden, that guy would get freaked out, because people don't want to hear about righteousness, because if there's righteousness, the very existence of righteousness and that we need God to accomplish it indicates that there is unrighteousness, and people aren't really ready to receive the thought that they could be living contrary to the way that God wants them to live. Guess what? Men of maturity, men of God of maturity, recognize that once we were not pleasing God, but now it is our goal to give everything that we have for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I believe that in Isaiah chapter 4, it talks about a shortage of men. I can't do anything about that society, but I can put out the invitation to our society today, to our generation, to our county, and that is that we can rise up and say, there's going to be at least one man of God. There's going to be at least one woman of God who will rise up and say, we will live the way God wants us to live. We will live in righteousness. We will rise up and we will do our part. We will respond to what God has invited us to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that this weekend, that today would be a turning point in people's lives. Lord, if they have spent their entire life making excuses for why they could not do this or could not do that, that today all of those would be put to rest, that the Spirit of the living God would rise up within us and say, we will be the people of God that you want us to be. God bless you. Hope to see you Sunday. If not, we'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away and purify my heart. I don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on with my world?